Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. It is good to be in the house of God with the people of God and the Word of God. To again be encouraged and given guidance for the journey of life. Maybe with a renewed way, we've gathered this morning with the thought of, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I hope that's the way we always feel as we gather, but when you miss a couple Sundays for various reasons, it seemed like a while since we've been here for a Sunday morning. If I remember correctly, we missed the second Sunday of January. We were away that weekend, then two Sundays in weather conditions. So it's been a number of weeks, and it's so good to see you all and trust that we're here with joy in our hearts and anticipation. Are you experiencing the joy of the Lord? Were you a happy person this past week in general as you went about life? As people observe your families, do they observe that you are a happy, joyous people? As people would visit our congregation, do they view us as a happy, joyous people in the Lord? What is the testimony of your life? Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's our foundation. It's our undergirding for whatever else happens in life. The joy of the Lord needs to be there and will be there for the child of God. The title of this morning's message is, Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Taken from Psalm 144 and verse 15. You Bible scholars recognize Psalm 144 as a chapter where the psalmist is reflecting on all the good material things that are bestowed upon him as he lived his life. The abundance of cattle and the abundance of blessings of the Lord. And he finally concludes that happy is the people that are in such a case, in such a situation. And then he concludes with, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. I believe this morning a child of God and the people of God collectively should be known and observed to be a happy, joyous people. And don't we have every reason to be joyous this morning? To be able to gather like this with the people of God? To have Christ in our lives, the Holy Spirit guiding us, be free from condemnation and guilt of sin? We have it all, don't we? Yes, there's trials, there's tests in life, there's challenges, but shoring us up through every circumstance of life, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't need to fear evil. We can be undergirded by the presence of God and the Lord Jesus in our lives and face even death and challenging circumstances with the joy of the Lord and happiness in our hearts. Thinking of that verse in Nehemiah, my text verse would be Psalm 144, verse 15, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. That verse in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, the children of Israel were involved in the rebuilding of Jerusalem that had been destroyed by their enemies. It was an intense work, a labor-intensive work. And doubtlessly, as labor-intensive work can be day after day, there are discouraging days and days that don't go as well as others. But the joy of what they were doing and the belief and the conviction that they were in the will of God strengthened them. The joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 reminded them and us this morning. The joy of the Lord is an internal spiritual resource It offers endurance. It offers peace. It offers reassurance during challenges, allowing individuals to move forward with hope. It is the joy of the Lord, the undergirding joy and happiness that we have in the Lord, that undergirds us and gives us hope to face the challenges of life. It's a blessing that the child of God has, that those who do not know God do not have that to sustain them and support them. It is an internal spiritual resource that offers endurance, peace, and reassurance during challenges, allowing individuals to move forward with hope. We already referenced the context of what the Israelites were involved in. What is the definition of joy? Unlike temporary happiness based on external events, this joy is a deep-seated, constant, and spiritual assurance. It is a deep-seated, constant, and spiritual assurance. It's not a fleeting thing that is brought about by something that just happened, but it's a deep-seated assurance. Constant spiritual assurance that we have in God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That joy of the Lord is a function of strength. This joy acts as a source of energy for daily living. It's a bearing strength for trials and tests. And it's a doing strength for service. The joy of the Lord is that to the child of God. This joy is relationship driven. The strength originates from a relationship with God, reminding the believers they are loved, secure, and that God is working for their good. Are you believing this morning? Are you of the conviction that Almighty Sovereign God is allowing and working in the circumstances of your and my life for your good? We need to have that resignation to an almighty sovereign God. It'll be the undergirding power and bearing foundation, if you will, to help us face the issues of life. We're on a human walk, a physical walk, and we face those things where we don't want this. We don't like this. It's not what we would choose, but somehow the child of God has to come to rest that an almighty sovereign God allows things to happen in our lives that we would not choose. But if we have the joy of the Lord as our strength, it will undergird us and bear us up in those hours of disappointment and discouragement. It calls for relying on God's power instead of self-effort. Relying on God's power instead of self-effort. Further considering the joy of the Lord and the happiness that we can have in Christ, as we look around the world, around our communities, you don't have to be very observant to come to realize that not nearly everyone has found the happiness that God can give. They wear it on their faces. We hear it in their expressions. You hear it in the tone that they speak in. But what do people hear when they hear me speak? What do they hear when they hear you speak? Do they hear someone speak of the abundance that they have in Christ, that they have in God, the blessings that they are experiencing in Him? Is there such a thing as true happiness? Is there really such a thing as true happiness? Yes, this morning there is. In God, in Christ, there is true happiness. There is joy, undergirding joy. God expects and commands that His people be happy. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not in meats and drinks, in natural things. You will not find sustaining joy and happiness in material things that are fleeting. They don't bring that joy. But it's in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Philippians 4 verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. A command, but I trust a natural response from the child of God. Rejoicing in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, rejoice evermore. 1 Peter 4, 13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Is that your experience this morning? Glad with exceeding joy. 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. The testimony of the Apostle Paul, and life wasn't all glamorous for him. He penned many of these words while he was penned up in prison. Yet he could rejoice in the Lord, and I believe be happy, and be undergirded by the joy of the Lord in his experience. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. The Apostle Paul could be joyful even in tribulation. That must be our experience as well, and can be. If we are built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and our relationship with God, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When I am weak, when I am at the end of life in my own strength, I am more prone to trust in God and reach out to God. Happiness is not something we stumble on by accident. It cannot be bought, it cannot be sold, it cannot be traded. Fortunately, happiness is not a commodity afforded only to the rich or the affluent. It's offered to anyone who comes to God through Jesus Christ and has God and Christ in their lives. Happiness is a state of mind within everyone's grasp. We want to have and must have the mind of Christ, dedicated to do the will of the Father and keeping God first. And this happiness can be found alone in God's word and following its teachings. That's where this happiness can be found this morning. That's where this joy, this undergirding joy, the joy that is the sustaining power in our lives. 8 points this morning as we ponder happiness and joy in our lives. Point number one, count your blessings. Count your blessings this morning. It's very easy for us, humanly speaking, for us to dwell on or think about or be overcome by reverses in life and disappointments in life. Disappointments in people, disappointments in how life is unfolding for us. Details that happen that we would prefer not. Again, count your blessings. God has promised to bless his children abundantly. He has promised to be there, and he will be there. Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Our first and foremost focus in life must be to seek God in that relationship with him. That purpose with him. The joy of the Lord will be our strength if we are counting our blessings Malachi 3, verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that ye shall not be able, or enough having, not be room enough to receive it. We are a blessed people. In perspective, as we ponder and hear about the conditions around the world, we are a blessed, rich people. Yes, we face challenges. We face circumstances in life sometimes that bring those challenges. But we have food, we have shelter, we have friendship, we have family. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. We are a blessed people. Live in the wealthiest nation in the world, as it were. Even the poorest American, someone has said, is rich in comparison to the rest of the world. We do have our problems, we all do. We face the realities of life. But our blessings far outweigh our trials and our tests. Far outweigh them. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, brothers and sisters. We need to keep our focus on the heavenly. Point number two, live one day at a time. One of the greatest robbers of joy and happiness in the Christian life can be trying to figure out how to find your way through tomorrow's challenges. We're all prone to do that. But live one day at a time. Most of our fears for tomorrow never materialize. We often miss the roses around our feet because we are looking for thorns down the path. Let's not get caught up in that. If people would only learn to live one day at a time, there would be fewer ulcers and fewer nervous breakdowns, someone has said. Many of the bridges that we fear, we don't know how we're going to be able to cross when we get to them, vanish, and God helps us find our way through that experience, whatever it might be. Furthermore, we have no assurance of living till tomorrow, so we must live today in its fullness. Find God's direction. Find joy in Him. Find service in Him. James chapter 4, 13 through 15. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If we could only live those verses, I believe we'd be even a happier people, a more joyous people. Live one day at a time. Point number three, be a giver, not a getter. Be a giver, not a getter. Find the joy of the Lord in giving. Giving your time, resources as you are able, as God gives that ability. But most of us have within us the ability to give something to someone. And there is blessing in giving. Even when it's taxing or takes extra effort to give, 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 give to others. It brings joy to you and brings blessings to those to whom we give. If we are not getting out of life what we expect, it may be that we are not expecting to always receive and never give. Don't live life expecting to receive. Live life desiring to give. Give of yourself. Bless others. It brings joy. And it brings joy to the giver and to the receiver. Luke 6, verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Let's be givers. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's bless others and be a giver. Point number four, a constant attitude of prayer. In a constant attitude of prayer, you want to keep God real in your life. You want the joy of the Lord to undergird you. Be in a constant attitude of prayer as you go about life, as you do life, as you live life. Pray without ceasing. A constant awareness of God's presence, a constant communication with him, of bringing God into every detail of life, whether small detail or great detail. God wants to be a part of your life. And if we have him an integral part of our life, a daily walking with him and talking to him, an attitude, a living attitude of prayer, it'll give us joy. It'll give us happiness. Where God is, there is joy. There is comfort. There is grace. There is power. Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The Apostle Paul admonished his hearers in Colossians 4, verse 2, continue in prayer. As if they were already involved in prayer, but continue in it. It's an ongoing activity and frame of mind. Prayer is a vital ingredient in God's recipe for happiness. Point number five, let nothing rob you of your peace with God. The devil would like to bring circumstances. He would like to bring thoughts into our minds and our hearts that would rob us of peace with God. This morning, if you have come to Jesus, come to God through Jesus, have found forgiveness for your sins, are walking with him in obedience, you then find yourself in the experience of Romans 8:1, where it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And as we walk that life of freedom from condemnation, sinless life, we have the joy of the Lord. And we may not let anything rob us of that peace that we can have with God. Philippians 4, verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We as Christians have every reason to build our lives on peace with God. Peace with our brothers and sisters. Peace with our neighbors. A peaceful life is a joyous life. It's a happy life. If you're living in guilt and dodging and trying to find your way, there's no peace, there's no joy. There's a constant stirring. Let nothing rob you of that peace and that joy. The devil wants to take it from you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We cannot allow the weight of life to rob us of peace. The devil wants to bring circumstances into our life to detract us and cause us to be discouraged, depressed. Rob us of peace. Let nothing rob you of the peace of God in your heart and your life. Point number six, fill your life with good. Fill your life with good, good deeds. Fill your life with helping others. Fill your life with good thoughts. Fill your life, we already had it, with the joy of giving. Our children sing that song, J-O-Y, J-O-Y. It's Jesus first, then others, and then ourselves. You want joy this morning? Keep it in that categories. Keep them straight. Fill your life with good. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, are honest, are just, are pure, are lovely, are a good report, if there be any virtue, or if there be any praise, think on these things. A disciplined mind, if you will. If we're going to be a happy, joyous people, we're going to need to have disciplined minds that are thinking on God and thinking on the positive things that God is doing in our life, bringing us salvation and all the blessings that we enjoy. Fill your life with good. There should be no room for trashy, evil thoughts in the mind of a Christian that draws our hearts away from him. Point number 7, have compassion for others. That has been weaved in some of our other points where we watch for opportunities to serve others. Learn to laugh and learn to cry. That kind of suggests the idea that we accept life as God allows it to come. Can we cry and still have the joy of the Lord? We cry in certain circumstances of life. But undergirding us, even in those hard times, when we cry out to God and say, God, I don't want this. We pour our hearts out to him and we plead to him for strength and for mercy and for a change of circumstances if it be his will. But a person who can laugh and cry with those who are laughing or crying, if you will, in common language, is a compassionate person. We want to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to each one of us. When we are facing a weeping experience in life, when others come beside us and understand our journey and show that they care and weep with us. That's what the child of God will do. And joy will come in the morning. Joy will return in the morning. And it's also a pleasure and a joy as a collective people of God, as we are compassionate with each other and live lives of compassion and caring for each other. When you face a mountaintop experience and we are linked arm in arm through whatever life is bringing, we can then be happy and joyous together. Learn to laugh and learn to cry together. Have relationships that allow that to happen and have that be a part of your life. Point number 8, practice the happiness habit. Practice the happiness habit. Learn to smile, and the smiles will return. Most times when you smile at a person will smile back at you. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We have so much to be happy about. Let us show the world that Christians are truly happy people. If non-Christian neighbors, non-Christian acquaintances in society only knew you as the only Christian they've ever met, would they testify that you are a happy Christian, that you are a joyous Christian? How are you living your life? And don't live it in pretense. If you're happy, may it be because it comes from your innermost being. And you are joying and rejoicing in what God has done for you through Jesus Christ, and is just bubbling from your life. It can't be hid. Let go and let God take over. If God is in it, let go and let God take over. Too many people want to run their own lives, but don't trust in God and commit their ways to Him. We must let God have full control of our lives. This is the only way to find true peace and happiness, and that is the foundation for true joy and happiness in the Christian life. Contentment in God, contentment in Christ. David spoke about that in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Isn't that wonderful? Is that your restful experience this morning in God through Christ Jesus? If it is, you have the joy of the Lord. You are happiness. And that joy of the Lord will be your strength. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Again, don't be hypocritical. Don't put on a front. Be genuinely happy in Christ. If you are truly in Him, you will be a joyous people. Let us joyously serve one another. Let's gird each other up, build each other up. Have the joy of the Lord be our strength. God bless you. Shall we kneel for prayer?